morning.
Morning.
Kaza kaza gitti sürüyor kaza. Kaza.
Selam aleyküm.
Oh.
Selam aleyküm.
Selam aleyküm.
Good morning, Your Holiness. We are so honored and delighted to have a chance to be here today for this conversation. And I want to thank you also for inviting your two honored guests. We're very pleased to have with us here today Diwan Saeed Zainul Abedin and Dr. Saeed Zafar Mahmoud. Thank you for joining us here today for this dialogue. And I think, as you know from our visit last year, the U.S. Institute of Peace was founded 30 years ago, dedicated to the proposition that peace is possible, peace is practical, and peace is essential. And we have been inspired by your lifelong commitment and example of that. And USIP has the great honor of working with some of the most important peace builders in the world right now, which are our youth. They are the future. They are what will make peace happen in this century. And you have here in this room 28 youth leaders from 13 countries that are struggling with violence, with conflict, with war. And each of them is doing courageous and dedicated work to try to make peace possible in their communities and in their countries. And they were so eager to have this opportunity to come here to Dharamsala today, to have a chance to meet with you, to share their stories, to hear your wisdom as they continue their life's journey as peace builders. And so what we thought is we would quickly just have everyone say their name and their country so you know who's in the room with you, and then ask for you to make some comments. Yes? So,
Your Holiness, my name is Astiar Chekhani. I come from Kurdistan of Iraq.
Which country?
Kurdistan of Iraq.
Kurdistan.
Oh, Kurdistan. No.
His Holiness, I'm very honored and delighted to have with you. I'm Yetut from Burma and also called Myanmar. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Holiness. I'm Nadia Labidi from Tunisia.
From?
Tunisia.
Tunisia.
Your Holiness, I'm Schofield Muliru from Kenya.
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 Kenyan.
Schofield Muliru from Kenya.
Good morning. I am Ikhlas from Sudan.
Sudan.
Good morning. I am Amule Emmanuel from South Sudan.
South Sudan.
Good morning. My name is Mariam from Afghanistan.
Assalamu alaikum, Your Holiness. I'm Sukaina from Morocco.
Good morning, Your Holiness. I am Suhir from Tunisia.
Tunisia.
Good morning, Your Holiness. I'm Miriam Panaki from Nigeria.
Good morning, His Holiness. I am Silvio William from South Sudan.
Assalamu alaikum, Your Holiness. I'm Shubi Nantege from Uganda.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm Muhammad from Sudan.
Good morning, Your Holiness. I'm Imran Alhaji Buba from Nigeria.
Good morning. I'm Rebecca from Nigeria.
Good morning, Your Holiness. Good morning, Your Holiness. I'm Isa from Iraq.
Iraq.
Good morning, Your Honor. I'm Dida Simzirai from Kenya.
Good morning, Your Holiness. I'm Harry Mullin from Burma.
Good morning, Your Holiness. I am Ted from Burma.
Assalamu alaikum. I am Nuria from Afghanistan.
Good morning. I'm Samuel from India.
Good morning, Your Holiness. I'm Don Rowan from the United States.
Your Holiness, Libby Liu from the U.S.
Your Holiness, Diane Zeleny from the U.S.
Your Holiness, Greg Grimes, United States.
Your Holiness, Emil Bruno from the U.S.
Assalamu alaikum, His Holiness. I'm Tenzel from Myanmar.
Yemen.
Good morning. I'm Victoria from Nigeria.
Good morning. I'm Michael Gerson from the U.S.
Your Holiness, I'm Saji from Sri Lanka.
Your Holiness, my name is Daniel Pincus from the United States.
Your Holiness, my name is Katie Schuller from the U.S.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Ahmed Haji from Uganda.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Muad Azugar from Morocco.
Good morning. My name is Nasra. I'm from Somalia.
Good morning. I'm Dua from Egypt.
Egypt.
Good morning, Your Holiness. I'm Susan Hayward from the United States.
Good morning, Your Holiness. I'm Melissa Nozell from the United States.
Your Holiness, I'm Aubrey Cox from the United States.
Good morning, Your Holiness. I'm Scheherazade from the United States and Iran.
Good morning, Your Holiness. I'm Allison Malofsky from the United States.
Good morning, Your Holiness. My name is Max Solomon from France.
Perhaps at the beginning, I think you start some prayer. Pray to Allah.
Yes.
Recite something.
I will recite.
Yes.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahmanir rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. The meanings are like this: Praise be to God, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds, master of the day of judgment. All praise belongs to Him, and all of us have to return to Him. We seek refuge in You from all evil in the world, and we pray to You that kindly guide us on the straight path, the path of those whom You have favored, and not of those who earn Thine anger, nor of those who go astray. Amen.
Amen.
Spiritual brothers, sisters, indeed, I'm very happy and great honor having this kind of meeting. And firstly, thank your organization. So you created this opportunity. Thank you very much. Then since the people, Muslim brothers, sisters from many different countries, particularly in Africa, different countries, then I felt in the eyes of Muslim brothers, sisters from different country, I have the view, you see, Indian Muslim, because of the environment, you see, I think over 2,000 years, you see, Indian Muslim, you see, live among different religious traditions. And Malaysian Muslim, also, you see, I notice, you see, because large number of Chinese, most of these Chinese Buddhist, and then many Indians, Hindus. So Malaysian Muslim, because of their circumstances, you see, quite open. Then Indonesia, also is a large number of Chinese Buddhist, like that. So then Arab Muslims, a little bit isolated. I always see mentioning or refer India is the living example where all major world religious traditions live together in the spirit of spiritual brotherhood, sisterhood. Occasionally some problems, you see, happen. That's understandable. Sometimes I joke, half joke, half serious.
Yeah, variations.
You see, about a billion populated nation, some mischievous people must be there in order to show we're also human being, human community, not heaven. So that's understandable. But overall, India, I think, truly, I think over 1,000 years religious harmony. Beside homegrown different religion, that is Sangha philosophy, Jain philosophy, Buddhist philosophy, and then different sort of Hindu traditions, and then from outside, Zoroastrian from Parsi, ancient Parsi. Mainly, you see, remain in Bombay. The population, less than 100,000, but no fear. Completely free. They are carrying some puja, fire, always to carry, you see. And from small community, I think they really, there are sort of people who really make sort of great contribution for India, like Tata, isn't it? And then the military service, Marshal Khaza, Manik Shaw, like that. So these are, I think, good example. So therefore, and then, you see, a large number of, you see, Muslims. I think India is the, I think, number two most Muslim because of the populated nation. First, Indonesia, then India. So Muslim number of Muslim population, India much greater than Pakistan, like that. But you see, then Christians, large number of Christians, Jews. You see these, and then I think India's own homegrown another sort of religion, that is Sikhism. The founder of Sikhism, Guru Nanak, Hindu background, but he deliberately, you see, take pilgrimage to Mecca to show religious harmony, mutual respect. So therefore, India, most populated democratic country, there are a lot of problems, but in spite of that, religious harmony is excellent, wonderful. So I thought, really worthwhile. One of my friend, Islam leader since many years, you see, I invited him. Then also, you see, you as a scholar, you see, they can share India's own sort of experience and let you know, oh, this complicated nation, religious harmony is very possible. Sometimes some politicians, you see, use, you see, different religious name. But overall, I think wonderful, wonderful. So this is something living. It is important, not just talk, not just idea, but actually the religious harmony exists in this planet. So I invite, isn't these my friends. Now, then the purpose. I'm now 81 year old, nearly 81 year old person. At age 16, I lost my own freedom. Then age 24, I lost my own country. A lot of sort of sufferings in my own country. So then eventually, I think my first visit to Europe, 73. And I start talking sameness of humanity. So at that time, since then, I use the word sense of global responsibility, sense of universal responsibility. Not talking my nation, that nation, my religious faith or a follower, my religion or that religion. Oh, we are the same human being. I really encouraged, I think a few days ago, BBC mentioned in Europe, more people, more young people, prefer global citizen rather than individual citizen. I don't know American. I think citizen of America, America, America. I think European Union. I think the different nation, important, but they are sort of actually, carrying sort of the spirit of European Union. So these, these very much sort of related with the sense of global citizen. So whether we like it or not, we have to live on this planet, about 7 billion human beings. We cannot escape from this sort of, the planet. There is no other home. Moons, beautiful, during night sky. Beautiful. But if we try to go there and settle there, impossible. So only this planet. While we're complaining, global warming or some other nature disaster, we complain. But still, this is only our home. So now, there's no other choice. Except this is our home. 7 billion human beings. So we have to live on this planet. Then harmony is very essential. You see, one human being killed by tiger or elephant, sometimes it becomes news. We live this sort of, surprise. Someone is killed by tiger. Nowadays, human being killed by human being, almost normal news, unthinkable. 7 billion human being, same human being, physically, emotionally, mentally, we all same, and all want peaceful life, happy life. That's why, I think over 1,000 years, all these different religious tradition start from different area, different time, all carry the message of love, compassion. And in order to practice love, compassion, seriously, all major religious traditions also teach us practice of tolerance, practice of forgiveness. So because we are human being, now some, according to some scientists, so there are sort of certain sort of observation and also physical condition in order to develop healthy body, healthy mind, is something very essential. So, in spite sort of all the best of facilities, but mentally, too much stress, too much worry, too much fear, you can't, you see, you cannot, because of that, achieve happy life. So, peace of mind is very essential. Calm mind, peaceful mind, is healthy mind. That tremendous effect, healthy body. Then we can see the family were full of love, full of compassion. That whole family, no matter poor, very happy. And a rich family, you see, luxury sort of items, isn't it? Good car, or even helicopters, or aeroplane. But within the family, distrust, little suspicion. That family never be happy family. And after all, we, human being, as a social animal, friendship is key factor. Friendship there, you feel safe. How to build friendship? You see, maybe these, because of the, what's it, these things may be very, because of the expensive or something. That may not bring genuine friendship. Friendship, your smile. Smile also, there are artificial smile. Usually I call diplomatic smile. So sometimes that kind of smile, you see, instead of develop trust, but more suspicion. So genuine human smile is the expression of warm-heartedness and sense of concern of their well-being. So that's the basis of trust. Trust is the basis of friendship. So we, as a social animal, see real sort of closeness feeling, sense of brotherhood, sisterhood, is the key factor. So this global citizen, concept of global citizen, I think because people, particularly in Europe and Europe continent, I think because of the European Union and also some sort of a lot of experiences. So you see, people, not much concern. My nation, that nation, or my religion, that their religion. I think more humanity, feeling of more humanity. I feel like that. So the concept of the CASA, global citizen. So this is quite similar. You see, my own sort of thinking. I fully committed, try to develop sense of oneness of 7 billion human beings. If now many problems, killing, and bullying, exploitation, and also gap rich and poor, all these, you see, with too much emphasis, me, we, and I say the big sort of how to say the distance, they and we. Ultimately, self-centered attitude. Only concern about my interest, our interest. Never see, never feel, this is serious consideration of others' well-being. That is very much related with my nation, my religious faith. These are actually secondary level of differences. So many of problem caused by secondary level of differences. Now this have to solve when we go deeper level, we are same human being. Then, a lot of problem which we, you see, too much emphasis, secondary level of differences. The only remedy is go deeper, we are same human being. 7 billion human beings, including those troublemakers, also come from their mother. And early life, you see, nurtured or survived where? By parents' affection, parents' love, and particularly mother's affection and mother's milk. So all 7 million human beings, same way our life starts, same way. So we, everybody, you see, have, I think, the deepest experience of love. So people who appreciate love, they also have the seed to show other love. So this, some scientists now say basic human nature is more compassionate. Wonderful. A few years ago, it was one occasion, our meeting with scientists, I say, they show one picture, very, very young infant child, age, I think, 4 or 5 months old, language not yet developed. Of course, not yet developed this beer. So you see, one cartoon, you see, two young children play together with smile. When that picture shows that infant child smiling. I also saw, you see, that I participated in that meeting and saw, you see, that picture, the infant child smiling, show sort of happiness. Then another cartoon, two children, negative attitudes, one another. When that cartoon seeing by that infant child, something like that, unhappy, a little bit sort of resentment attitude. So that they use the reason. And then, of course, constant fear, constant anger experience, or immune system actually eating by these the destructive sort of emotion. More calm mind actually sometimes, you see, even increase the immune system like that. So therefore, when I heard that, this is really basis of our hope. If basic human nature is anger, then no hope. Make effort. Then just not much think. And then let human beings killing each other, okay. If basic nature is negative. But basic nature is compassion. Therefore, there's real hope. If you make effort. Now, key factor in order to develop or utilize the basic human nature, compassion, then... Okay. May I just talk continuously? Okay. So therefore, many my friend, scientist, and also the educationist, and many and the social workers were. So many, you see, they feel now that our education system is not sort of complete, which we require. The existing modern education system is very much oriented about external values. About 200 years, I think modern education system developed. They also science and the technology began to start. So at that time, the moral responsibility take care by religion. Now, modern time, firstly, among the religion, there are so many different religious traditions. And then also, as a matter of fact, according to some information, out of 7 billion human beings, over 1 billion non-believers. So therefore, you see, we have to think, including those non-believers, or among the believers, our common sort of concept, or common sort of versus experience. That's human love. Not different philosophical views. That's something different. But love, practice of love, forgiveness, tolerance, this, something common for everybody. And a non-believer, also they are human beings. They also need love in order to practice seriously, effectively, practice of love. They also need practice of tolerance and forgiveness. So these things is something I feel they are suitable or relevant to everybody. So now education, the moral ethics, if sort of based on religious faith, then there is complication. So without based on religion, but rather use scientific findings and our common experience and common sense. Common sense now here. You see, if you see someone, you see, lost temper, lose temper, is shouting, then I think the whole room a little bit tense. The person who is shouting with anger, himself or herself, also, you see, lost peace of mind. So they use our common experience, common sense. So the loving kindness with sense of human brothers, sisters, that also, you see, is relevant with environment issue. Not only think of yourself, day-to-day life, but thinking, next generation. For that reason, me as a monk, no child. So I have not much concern about my own sort of future descendant. And you people who have children, then you have to think seriously about the well-being of your children and grandchildren, grandchildren. So environment become very important. Due to global warming, now things are changing. In India now, it's a water scarcity. What? Really, very difficult, very sad. And in Africa also, you see, many places, difficult. So therefore, now, if you have sense of concern of others' well-being, then environment issue automatically come. So now, existing our education system should include the education about moral ethics. Moral ethics, not based on religious faith, but simply use common sense or common experience and scientific finding. So that's my number one commitment, to promote more compassionate world through education, not through prayer. I am a Buddhist monk. In my daily practice, you see some prayer there, but for me as an individual human being, prayer very helpful. But prayer for world, I doubt. Some real effect from prayer to world. These days, I half joke, half serious. If it's for Buddhist, Buddha come, or Jesus Christ, or Muhammad, and some other sort of teachers, if come, if you ask, please bring peace on this planet, then I feel they may say, who create violence? Who create problem? Not God, not Buddha, but you human being. You created this problem. So it is your responsibility to solve this problem. We created violence and problem. Then ask, you see, God, please bring peace. Illogical. What do you think? Some sense? Is it some sense?
Definitely.
Huh? Definitely. So therefore now, peace must be built by ourselves. So that's what the number one, I consider I am another human being, one of the 7 billion human beings. So I fully committed to educate people. Peace must start from here. External peace must through inner peace. Now, and when we are talking terrible about nuclear weapon and these offensive weapon, really terrible, we really, you see, we have sort of responsibility eventually demilitarize the world. In order to demilitarize the world, external disarmament. For that, firstly, internal disarmament is very essential. Full of anger, full of jealousy, full of suspicion, full of distrust, difficult to achieve. Disarmament. And where our concept, you see, I think 20th century becomes century of bloodshed. Now this century must be century of peace. Peace does not mean without any problem. Problem there. So whenever we face the problem, we have to try to solve that through mutually agreeable solution. That means through dialogue. So this century, in order to create a century of peace, we have to create this century should be century of dialogue. So this is number one. Number two, I'm Buddhist monk. So when firstly I saw genuine sort of religious harmony, as I mentioned earlier, you see, religious harmony is very possible, very possible. And when we become close sort of friend, then we know all major religious traditions have same potential to bring inner peace, and through inner peace, peaceful family, peaceful community. So all have, you see, I usually use the describe three aspects of all major religious traditions. One aspect is religion. That's sort of love brings inner peace. Through inner peace, genuine peace can achieve. So all major religious tradition, the main teaching, main message is love. Here, all major religious tradition, same. Among my friend, some Muslims, wonderful, really dedicated sort of individuals, I know. And some Christians, like late Mother Teresa, wonderful. And many Hindus, like that. So all major religion, as far as the aspect of religion is concerned, same. Then aspect of philosophy, yes, there is big differences. Some say there is creator. Some say no creator. Some say next life. Some say no next, no previous life. Just only this life, created by God or Allah. Indian tradition, Hindus, and also Jains and Buddhists, you see, we have this sort of view, the limitless previous life and future life. So there is differences. Then, if you ask, what is the purpose of this different philosophy? Same purpose, to bring conviction about the value of love or compassion. So use the, oh, there is limitless sort of life. So you should behave well. Don't harm other. Help other. You get benefit. So that's, you see, one method to bring conviction. I think even from selfish reason, everybody you see, loves their own sort of well-being. So if you compassionate sort of life, you will get benefit. If you harm other, you get negative sort of consequences. And then other say, oh, we created by God, by Allah. The God and Allah, infinite love. So creator, almost like our Father. Our Father, such a wonderful, infinite love. So we are children of that kind of Father. So we should be kind person, compassionate person. If we become angry person, destructive emotions, I think we really, because of make shame away. Our beloved Father, God. So we should be thinking that line. We all children of God have seed of love. Because our Father, our God, infinite love. We all have some part of spark away. Some sparks of Creator. Wonderful sort of philosophy. Really wonderful. So, different philosophy, same purpose. Like you say, same illness, in order to cure illness, use different medicine. According age or climate. So, like that. So, therefore, similarly, a different location, different culture, different environment. So you see, these great teachers, you see, come accordingly, you see, they carry some different philosophical views. But same purpose. So, you see, no problem. Oh, philosophical field, there is differences, but the same goal, no problem. The third aspect, cultural aspect. There are, I think in this country, you know, the Hindu tradition, sometimes you see the different sort of class, Kshatriya, caste. So maybe we can say it's a part of their culture or something, but outdated. So we have to also think seriously. I often used to tell my Hindu friends, now, some of their sort of the concept or their habit, now outdated. You see, now time come must change. In India, those was the outcast way, Dalits or scheduled caste. You see, recently, I think news, Bihar or some other places, due to marriage, different class, different caste, some problems, isn't it? And some area, I think Bihar, you see, the well, which used by upper caste, which he cannot drink. So such discrimination. Maybe sort of India sort of India, of course, the part of India's tradition, but now time come. I think India's tradition, according to, I think nobody say India's ancient tradition, Raja, Raja, Raja. No election. Now we have to sort of follow the Raja sort of tradition, isn't it? This is outdated.
Yes,
outdated. Now we fully realize democracy. So similarly, a certain our sort of tradition is outdated. So now must change. Time come. Must change. These spiritual leaders come out, tell people some of these practices is, I think, due to feudal system or discrimination. So that outdated must change. So here sometimes I also feel, or if something wrong, please make correction, me. You know, Sharia law.
Sharia.
Oh, when Muhammad, you see, come and nomad the people, more or less nomad life, isn't it? So therefore, you see, sometimes the rule becomes something very, very important. More sort of criminal things, you see, happen. Therefore, under that circumstances, that environment, he emphasizes Sharia law. Very important. So now time come. And Buddhist sort of the tradition also, you see, there are some sort of discrimination, male and female. Now these also, now time come, have to change. Now we all, everybody, equal. Although Buddhist tradition, like Christian or Islam also, you see, no caste sort of discrimination, these things. So Buddhist also, you see, no such sort of discrimination. But still, some, you see, the, I think, influence of old, what say, the, the social sort of system. Actually, I feel, I openly see, telling, like the Lama's institution, you know, Dalai Lama institution, reincarnation, I think you may heard, you know, this, I think, some connection about feudal system. No Buddha's reincarnation, no Buddha's institution. So I always telling, Dalai Lama institution is not important. So like that. So therefore, the cultural aspect, I think sometimes we have to think seriously, some modify or some change. That does not mean changing our religion, no. Changing our philosophy, no. Just some habit due to social sort of system or something like that. So then, all major religious tradition, same message of love, same potential. So, you see, there is real, stable basis or ground work together. Mutual respect and harmony. Mutual learning. So, and within that, in that level, now recent years, the religion, religion's source of practice of compassion, that itself now causing more division and causing anger, distrust, unthinkable. When we look all major world religious tradition, their message, and look the serious follower of this divine tradition, many wonderful people. So then in the name of religion, fighting, killing. So we have to make attempt. So since many years, I request my Indian friend, now India, particularly Indian Muslims, should take some effort. Sometime I met some Indian retired officials who once were supposed to in some African countries, part of United Nations, Sarvasade, Kasoda, police or something. So I told them, now India, it should take. I have no connection with these people. So therefore, India should take. Then these people say Indian Muslims. And on one occasion, one sort of experienced one Indian former diplomat or something. He actually told me the one sort of key factor is good relation between Saudi Arabia and Iran. Iran as the Shia and Saudi Arabia, Sunni. So these two countries, sort of good relation is something key factor. That beyond my sort of what's the Kasota connection, like that. And then, me personally, since September 11th, that event happened, then I fully committed. I'm defending the Islam tradition. Because some people actually are expressing Islam is some kind of militant and clash between Western civilization and Islam world. This such sort of view is very dangerous based on misunderstanding. So, for example, after 1 year, September 11th event happened. This is some kind of Kasuda prayer meeting. Kasuda meeting, commemoration in Washington, National Cathedral. Somehow I was there, so they invited me. So there, I mentioned, you see, due to few mischievous Muslims, you see, and then generalize whole Islam is something militant or something negative. It's totally wrong. As far as mischievous people is concerned, among the Hindus also there, among the Jews also there, among the Christians also there, among the Buddhists also there. Now, clear example was, in Burmese, one occasion, one Time magazine, you see, show one picture, describe Buddhist terrorist. So not only Islam terrorist, but also Buddhist terrorist. So among all different religious traditions, some mischievous people are always there. So that will never representing the whole tradition. So therefore, I mentioned there at the Cathedral sort of meeting, due to sort of certain incident, you see, generalized whole Islam is something negative. It's totally wrong. Since then, whenever interfaith meeting take place, I always see mentioning, I'm Buddhist monk, you see, come front defending, you see, Islam tradition. I have some personal sort of relations, personal sort of reasons. In my village, in northeast Tibet, Amdo, it says my small village, very, very small, very remote village, some Muslim family there. Then at age 5, I come to Lhasa. There, last 4 centuries, I think at least about 1,000 Muslim community there. So there was no record of quarrel. When we say Muslim, very gentle. And the, particularly this, the Muslim who now a few generations used to settle in Lhasa. The Lhasaian dialectic, you see, they really kept wonderfully. Now some of them settled in Jammu Kashmir, Srinagar. I have been few occasions there, say hello. You see, there are children. Speak Tibetan. I think in their family they use Tibetan language. So some of these sort of older sort of elder generation of Muslim who come from Lhasa, 1990, I think 60. They speak, you see, Lhasa in dialectic. Wonderful dialect like that. So very, very gentle. So then Islam. And then some Muslim friend in this country, they say, a genuine Islam practitioner should not create any bloodshed. If you create bloodshed, then reality no longer Islam practitioner. Then also the meaning of jihad, actually not sort of harming other people, but combat your own destructive emotion. That's the meaning of jihad. And then one Muslim, told me a genuine practitioner of Islam must extend love entire creature of Allah. Wonderful, wonderful. We can say Islam is also religion of compassion. Wonderful. So, as one individual, see, I try my best, try to remove misunderstanding. And then one occasion in America, the Muslim from Iran or from some few different Muslim countries, I also mentioned that. And then recently in Washington also I met some Muslim friends. So now, when I heard, you organized this meeting, and I really excited. So I really, hoping this kind of meeting. So ultimately, genuine harmony, you should build, not outsider. Firstly, I think you should get some ideas and listen some of our Indian Muslim friends' sort of experience. Then, different countries, you should make effort at appropriate occasion, and some Arab or African Muslim countries, is from time to time, kasoda, organize some meeting, interfaith meeting, or within the sort of Muslim community, sort of Shia and Sunni, and make effort, firstly, and I think frankly speaking, if possible, invite those so-called terrorists, still human being. At the time they are bombed, same way, they also appreciate human love. Due to certain sort of factor, at the moment, in some occasions, their anger is dominant in their mind. So, but basically, they also have the same human being. I think the angry person, when we met angry person, you also show a little bit of anger, then things become worse. The angry face show a smile or jokes. That's the only way to cool down. So, so-called our sort of 20th century sort of habit, when disagreement come, only sort of, how to say, immediately think how to solve this by force. That's outdated. Actually, as a matter of fact, September 11th even happened. And September 12th, I wrote a letter to to President Bush, since I know Bush very well. So I express my condolence. Then at the same time, I also express this problem should deal with non-violent way. Then eventually, Iraq crisis will happen. So after that, one occasion, I met President Bush. I told him, I love you, I respect you, but some of your policies concerned, I have some reservation. Then he laughed. Since this many years, we know very close friend. Yeah. I love him because not as a president, but as a human being, very nice person. So it is possible, nice person, but due to certain sort of, I see, the unrealistic thinking, or also, you see, advisor, then sometimes mistake policy. It is possible. So therefore, you see, these, I think, the old-fashioned, some disagreement there, different interest clash, only think force. That are outdated. If violence met by violence, no end. So, any problem, you see, we have to think, they also human being. They also our brothers, sisters. Their interest also our interest. Our interest, their interest. Through that way, try to solve, try to find a solution. That's the only realistic sort of method. So, in any way, now here, you see, in this gathering, I am extremely happy, and those individuals who come here, I really appreciate. Thank you very much.
So we would love to give our youth leaders an opportunity to share some of their stories, okay. Reflections, ask questions.
Tea break, today. So 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Then tea break. Then again, go talk.
Yeah.
Question, or suggestions, or also criticisms.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
I think anything you want to share.
In Hindi.
Oh, Hindi.
Yes.
Okay. Someone can translate.
Yeah.
Now our meeting. Whenever you say I participate, I always be telling. Completely informal. If formality comes, then sometimes, as I mentioned earlier, artificial smile also improved. Completely informal. As a human brother, sisters, as a sort of family gathering, completely informal. Then you really get deeper sort of close feeling and a deeper understanding.
Assalamu alaikum. आज मेरे लिए ये एक बहुत खुशी का मौका है कि His Holiness श्री दलाई लामा जी ने जो इस फंक्शन को ऑर्गेनाइज करवाया है ये मेरी लाइफ में पहली मर्तबा है कि वेरियस कंट्रीज के डिग्निटीज यहाँ मौजूद हैं आज के प्रेजेंट एटमॉस्फेयर के अंदर जो सबसे ज़्यादा हमें चीज़ परेशान कर रही है वो यूथ की प्रॉब्लम्स हैं हमें सबसे पहले उनको गाइड करना ज़रूरी है आफ्टर पासिंग दी बीए बीएससी बीकॉम एमए एमडी डॉक्टरेट प्रो उनको सही तरीके से सही गाइडलाइन नहीं मिल रही है वो ये सोच करके अपनी क्वालिफिकेशंस को इंक्रीज कर रहे हैं कि हमें आफ्टर पासिंग दिस एग्ज़ाम yet after getting this degree hum fulani post ko lene ke liye easiest way ke andar chale jayenge aur hame wo cheez hasil ho jayegi lekin aaj dekh rahe hain hame wo cheez hasil nahi ho rahi hai isliye various countries ke andar kuch is qisam ki companies kaam kar rahi hain jo un youth ko hire kar rahi hain
again I'll translate.
Now you can
talk. Okay. So he began with the praise of Allah and is thankful to His Holiness that this is a wonderful opportunity that has been provided for the first time in his life where representative youth of so many large number of countries are assembled at one place and we are talking about peace. And he says that he is trying to analyze the situation that the youth, they do obtain degrees in various subjects from various universities in different countries. But then what after that, what to do after that, after taking the degrees in practical life, perhaps he wishes to say that it's not only the profession that one has chosen, but also should discharge other responsibilities of being a co-traveler in this world.
Various jo companies kaam kar rahi hain throughout the world, wo un youth ko hire kar rahi hain. Wo unko kuch package ke liye commitment dete hain ki ye saman hai, falani jagah transport karna hai. Uske andar kya hai, wo youth ko bata nahi rahe. Wo wahan pahuncha diya. Ab usme drugs hai. Arms हैं, ammunitions हैं, क्या है? They don't know. Youth नहीं जानता. और youth wrong track के ऊपर जो है अपनी life को डाल देता है. ये crisis बढ़ रही है इसीलिए.
Some companies are hiring the youth for nefarious designs. They supply drugs using the institution of a youth. Institution means the very existence, who and the youth are sometimes misguided, they are not aware what is inside the packet, then they do deliver.
Dusri problem ye hai, religious point of view se, ke wo religion ke maamle mein, apni during the education life period ke andar, wo nahi jante hain, ke hamara religion kya hai, aur uske main aims and object kya hai. What is the directions of Quran? What is the orders of Prophet Muhammad? They don't know. Wo nahi jante.
Yeah, this is very important. Says that while the children are studying up to the graduate level from the nursery, they should also take care to understand what their own faith is all about. And this is the truth everywhere in India also, everywhere in every faith also. That the children, they do not read what is written in the scripture. So they don't go to the original source.
Jaisa ki abhi His Holiness sahab ne farmaya ki India ek aisa country hai ki jahan par various caste and creed ke log rehte hain aur without any problem wo apni lifetime bita rahe hain. Isi tarah se Prophet Muhammad ke direct descendant, great grandson of Prophet Muhammad, through his daughter's line, Hazrat Khwaja Muhyiddin Chishti of Ajmer, unki dargah hai, ek historian commissioner ki haisiyat se Ajmer Mirwara state ke andar aaya, usse pehle wo India ke various country ke andar, states ke andar, Raja Maharajaon ke time ke andar gaya, usne wahan ke culture ko dekha, wahan ke administration ko dekha, और उसने अपनी हिस्ट्री लिखी. जब वो अजमेर मेवाड़ स्टेट के अंदर पहुंचा, उसने वहां का कल्चर दूसरी तरह से पाया अदर स्टेट के बनिस्बत. उसने अपनी हिस्टोरिकल बुक टॉड राजस्थान जो 1829 के अंदर लिखी गई, उसके सफा नंबर पेज नंबर 323, 324, 325, 539, 540 के ऊपर वो लिखता है कि मैं इंडिया के अंदर वेरियस स्टेट्स के अंदर जाने का मेरे को मौका मिला, لیکن جب میں اجمیر میوار اسٹیٹ کے اندر گیا تو وہاں پر میں نے ایک قبر کو حکومت کرتے ہوئے دیکھا ہے.
He says that as very rightly said by His Holiness that India is a nation to emulate where people of different faiths mostly live very peacefully. Likewise, in the same spirit, the one of the descendants of the Prophet, peace be upon him, whose grave is in Ajmer, and this gentleman is the keeper of that place. So he says that one foreign visitor some time ago,
Colonel James Todd, Commissioner of Ajmer,
okay. He came there, and after visiting there and after interacting with the local people there, he said, he wrote a book also, and he said that I have visited so many places, but this place, Ajmer, is a very unique place where a person inside a grave, he governs the people's hearts.
Isi tarah se India ke various states ke andar, shahron ke andar, kai صوفی بزرگان دین جو گزرے ہیں ان کی مزارات ہیں, درگاہیں ہیں. ان درگاہوں کے اوپر وداؤٹ کاسٹ اینڈ کریڈ آدمی جاتا ہے, اپنی مرادیں پاتا ہے, اپنی نیک تمناؤں کو پاتا ہے, عرض کرتا ہے, دعائیں مانگتا ہے. وہاں پر اس استھان کے اوپر کسی بھی قسم کا بھید بھاؤ آج کی تاریخ کے اندر نہیں ہے. جب وہ زندہ تھے, حیات تھے, پریچنگ کرتے تھے, اس وقت بھی نہیں تھا. یہی وجہ ہے, یہ ہمارے دیش کی گنگو جمنی تعلیم کہلاتی ہے جو آج بھی وہاں پر اڈاپٹ ہے.
There are similar shrines all over the country in different places, different states, different districts where people of different faiths keep on coming and visiting and they keep on paying their obeisance there and they do get a spiritual advantage also irrespective of the considerations of faiths, and that has been one of the very important factors which has been solidifying, which has been bringing together the people of different faiths in this country.
Ajmer ki dargah ki do cheeze bahut historical hain. Ek Hindu riti rivaj ke hisab se jo magh ka mahina aata hai uske andar jo chand ki 5 tarikh padti hai us roz us dargah ke upar aur chishtiya silsile ki tamam dargahon ke upar ek basant ki rasm hoti hai جو ہندی تیتھی کے حساب سے ہوتی ہے, ہندوؤں کی رسم و رواج کے حساب سے ہوتی ہے.
There is a tradition in his درگاہ, in his place where his grave is there, that some celebration is performed periodically according to the dates which are sacrosanct, which are important to the Hindu traditions. Though it's a Muslim درگاہ.
اسی طرح سے جو اینولی وہاں پر عرس ہوتا ہے سالانہ عرس, اس کے اوپر کئی تھرو آؤٹ دی ورلڈ جو بھی جن کی منتیں ہیں, مرادیں ہیں, جن کی پوری ہو گئی ہیں, وہ وہاں کھانا بنواتے ہیں. جو بڑی دیگ, چھوٹی دیگ کے نام سے مشہور ہیں وہاں, اس کے اندر کھانا بنتا ہے. وہ کھانا اس وقت شکار کے گوشت سے بنتا تھا, لیکن چونکہ وہاں پر ہر کاسٹ اینڈ کریڈ کا آدمی آتا ہے تو پرساد کے طور پر وہ کھا نہیں سکتا تھا. ہندو حضرات میٹ نہیں کھائے گا, تو آگے چل کر کے یہ طے کیا گیا کہ اس کو کیوں نہ میٹھا کھانا بنایا جائے جو ہر کاسٹ اور کریڈ کا آدمی جو ہے آسانی سے اس کو لے جائے.
There are two huge cauldrons which are fixed there in the ground in which food is cooked on different occasions, once a year, and that is supposed to be a very very important sacrosanct thing and people eat. Earlier it used to be meat, but when people of different faiths also started going there, so it is now vegetarian.
Mere ko dukh ke sath kehna pad raha hai ki various countries ke representative yahan maujood hain, usme Arab countries bhi hain, Muslim countries bhi hain, lekin throughout the world aaj jis qisam ka dar khauf paida kiya gaya hai wo kaun hai? ISI اور البغدادی. ہمارا قرآن شریف ہمیں یہ ہدایت دیتا ہے, ڈائریکشن دیتا ہے, آرڈر دیتا ہے کہ اس زمین کے اوپر अगर किसी एक बेगुनाह बच्चे का, बूढ़े का, जवान का, औरत का, लड़की का कत्ल किया गया तो वो पूरे इंसानियत का कत्ल माना जाएगा। आज ये लोग क्या कर रहे हैं? कोई इस्लामिक कंट्री उनको कंडेम कर रहा है? नहीं कर रहा। क्यों? पाकिस्तान
कुरान टीचेस दैट इफ एनीबडी टेक्स अवे द लाइफ ऑफ एन इनोसेंट पर्सन देन इट अमाउंट्स टू द किलिंग ऑफ द एंटायर ह्यूमैनिटी बट देन दिस पर्टिकुलर एस्पेक्ट इज नॉट वेरी मच ब्रॉट टू द नोटिस ऑफ द वर्ल्ड सो इट इज अवर ड्यूटी टू डू दैट।
दूसरी चीज ये अल बगदादी सो कॉल्ड खलीफा, किस इस्लामिक कंट्री ने उसको जो है खलीफा रिकग्नाइज किया? प्लस जो वो बैनर या जिसको झंडा कहते हैं वो इस्तेमाल कर रहा है उसके ऊपर लिखा हुआ है कलमा शरीफ ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह मोहम्मद रसूलल्लाह, लेकिन उसके नीचे जो है कोल वो है लोगो जिसको वो वहां पर प्रिंट करवा करके जगह जगह वो कर रहा है, बेहुरमती जिसको कहते हैं। वो क्या है लोगो? वो प्रॉफिट मोहम्मद की मोहर है, मोहर नबूवत। उसको इस्तेमाल करने का राइट एंटायर वर्ल्ड के अंदर किसने उसको ये राइट दिया?
सेज दैट दिस ISIS इज यूजिंग इट्स एज इट्स लोगो द सील ऑफ द प्रॉफिट मोहम्मद पीस बी अपॉन हिम व्हिच इज अटर डिसरेस्पेक्ट and blasphemy and nobody in the whole world has given this right to them.
Teesri cheez ye ki ye company al baghdadi ki jo youth ko hire kar rahi hai kya koi world ka country usse poochne ka ye right rakhta hai ya usne poocha aaj tak ki aap apne ladke ko iske andar kyun nahi rakhte? Bombay ke andar jo hamla hua ISI ka, अजमल कसाब उसके अंदर जिंदा पकड़ा गया, उसने जो बयान दिया वो ये कहा कि हमारे को फलाने आदमी ने हायर किया था, फलाने आदमी ने ये कहा था जो पाकिस्तान के अंदर काम कर रहा है, और उन्होंने मेरे फादर को, मेरी मदर को जाकर के 2.5 लाख रुपए देकर के ये ऑफर किया कि हम इसको किसी मिशन के ऊपर भेज रहे हैं, अगर ये वहां काम आ गया तो ये 2.5 लाख रुपए हैं, उसके बाद में हम और देते रहेंगे और ये सीधा जन्नत में जाएगा। तो 2.5 लाख रुपए के अंदर अगर इतनी आसानी से सस्ते के अंदर जन्नत मिल रही है तो उसने अपने लड़के को, अपने भतीजे को, अपने फैमिली मेंबर्स को क्यों नहीं भेजा? वो उन्होंने 2.5 लाख रुपए दिए, मैं 10 लाख रुपए पर हेड के हिसाब से देने के लिए तैयार हूँ, अपने फैमिली मेंबर्स को भेजे।
He says that this ISIS chief al-Baghdadi, why doesn't he send his own son? Why doesn't he hire his own son to go and kill people? Why he hires people, different youth who are uninformed? And he is giving the example of one particular boy, Al-Qasab, Ajmal Al-Qasab, who was caught after the attacks in Bombay a couple of years ago. And he had given the statement that he was hired by somebody, they go and you do this, and if you get killed, then your family will get $250,000 of rupees or whatever. So he says that I am ready to give 1 million and let al-Baghdadi send his son for the killing.
Teesri cheez ye ki throughout India aur aapke Iraq ke kahan hain? Iraq ke andar Ghaus Pak Rahmatullah Alayh ka mazar hai, wo bhi Prophet Muhammad ka descendant hai, log wahan ziyarat karne ke liye jate hain, lekin jo gareeb log hain जिनके पास में पैसा नहीं है वो वहाँ जा नहीं सकते, लेकिन उनकी डेथ ऑफ डे जो है उस रोज़ वो अपने घर के अंदर फातह दुरूद करते हैं और मन्नतें मांगते हैं उनके नाम से, उनकी मुरादें पूरी होती हैं। उसके साथ साथ क्या कभी क्लैश हुआ? क्या कहीं कोई प्रॉब्लम क्रिएट हुई? अजमेर शरीफ के अंदर अभी रिसेंटली इस अप्रैल महीने के अंदर जो है उर्स ख़त्म हुआ है, 9 तारीख से लेकर के 14 तारीख तक एनुअल सेरेमनी थी, लाखों आदमी वहां पर आया था विदाउट कास्ट एंड क्रीड, उसने अपनी मन्नतें पूरी की, जो वो मांग के गए थे वो पूरी करने आए, और जो नई मन्नतें लेकर आए वो है उसके अंदर किसी धर्म का, किसी मजहब का उसका कोई भेदभाव नहीं
है। एट द टूम्स ऑफ द सैक्रेड पीपल ऑफ द वर्ल्ड इन इराक एंड इन इंडिया एंड एल्सवेयर people of different faiths assemble in very large numbers, and it does not ever result into any problem anywhere.
Isi tarah Muharram jisko kehte hain wo throughout world manaya jata hai aur India ke andar bhi, lekin alag alag jagah ke alag alag tareeke hain. कोई ताजियादारी करता है, कोई किसी तरह से सवाब पहुंचाने के लिए खाने बनाता है उनको तकसीम करता है, कोई शरबत बनाता है वो उनको तकसीम करता है. अजमेर एक ऐसा है कि जहां पर मुहर्रम मनाने का तरीका बिल्कुल अलग है, सिस्टम ही अलग है उसका. दरगाह के दरवाजे पे ताजिए रखे जाते हैं, अंदर कोर्ट का एक एरिया है, वहां पर नंगी तलवारों से 200 तलवारों से हाई डोज खेला जाता है, जिसको हाई डोज कहते हैं. वो किसी किस्म की चोट नहीं आती, किसी किस्म की वो नहीं होती. इंडिया के अंदर कई जगह पर, आपके ईरान के अंदर कई जगह पर ताजियदारी होती है, बांग्लादेश के अंदर कई जगह ताजियदारी होती है, पाकिस्तान. यहाँ तो शिया सुन्नी दंगे होते नहीं, और वहाँ दंगे होते हैं. क्यों?
He says that as far as the acronym money between Shias and Sunnis is concerned, that is a something which has been created recently. Purposefully with a nefarious design, because in actual practice at the ground level there is nothing like that. There are the tombs in Ajmer and other places where Muharram, which is fundamentally celebration of a different kind by Shias, but that is celebrated by Sunnis also and jointly in large numbers, but never there is any scuffle, and that is continuing even today. But it is the political design at some level where a cleavage is determined to be created between these two streams of Islam.
Iske alawa hamara ek ye farz banta hai, jitna youth yahan pa bhi bahar ke various countries se aaya hai, unki moral duty banti hai ki wo apne apne religion ke upar sakhti ke sath mein qayam rahe, apne apne religion ki jo original orders hain, डायरेक्शंस हैं, उसको ओबे करें. हिंदू हजरात अपने धर्म के हिसाब से ऑर्डर्स को ओबे करें, बुद्धिस्ट अपने धर्म के हिसाब से ओबे करें, जैनीज अपने धर्म के हिसाब से ओबे करें, क्रिश्चियन अपने धर्म के हिसाब से, तो क्लेश की जरूरत ही नहीं.
इट्स द फंडामेंटल ड्यूटी ऑफ एवरीबडी टू अंडरस्टैंड हिज और हर ओन फेथ एंड टू प्रैक्टिस इट. And then there will be no problem, interfaith problem in the world.
अजमेर के अंदर जब ख्वाजा साहब पहुंचे थे, वहां से जब वो प्रीचिंग करते थे, जो उनकी जगह थी उसको कहते हैं खानकाह, वो आज भी मौजूद है. आप तशरीफ ला चुके हैं वहां पर, वहां उस रस्म को अटेंड किया है आपने, और जो रस्म होती है उसके अंदर जितनी पब्लिक आती है, उसके अंदर हिंदू भी आता है, मुस्लिम भी आता है, सिख भी आता है, क्रिश्चियन भी आता है, हर फेथ का आदमी वहां पर आता है विदाउट कास्ट एंड क्रीड. उन सब बातों को देखते हुए जो उनकी एनुअल फाता होती है, आपने अटेंड किया उसको, उसके अंदर शरबत, पान के बीड़े, बताशे शकर के बनते हैं जो, और चाय, ये डिस्ट्रीब्यूट की जाती है सबको.
This is talking about the place where he is serving the in Ajmer, that sacred person where he used to sit, and that place is now has become a place of celebration, and annually on the special occasions it is a tradition to distribute syrup and tea and some sweets.
इसी तरह से उनके एनुअल सेरेमनी के अंदर, और जो वो अपनी लाइफ टाइम में करते थे, जिस तरह से वहां तशरीफ लाने के बाद में चारों तरफ मंदिर थे, मंदिरों के अंदर भजन कीर्तन हुआ करते थे, उन्होंने उसी चीज को अडॉप्ट करते हुए अपने यहां भी एक कव्वाली की इजाद की. कव्वाली आज भी उनके एनुअल उर्स के ऊपर होती है, एवरी थर्सडे को होती है, एवरी सिक्स ऑफ लूनर मंथ को होती है, एवरी 14th ऑफ द लूनर मंथ को होती है. उसके अंदर भजन भी गाए जाते हैं.
When he lived in this world, then around the place where he used to live in Ajmer, there used to be Hindu temples. And in Hindu temples, there is a traditional songs which is known as bhajan, which is a real obeisance to the deity. So that was adopted by this gentleman also, and that tradition goes on even today.
इसी तरह से जो हिंदू कल्चर वहां पर था उस वक्त उसका कलर ये था भगवान. उन्होंने अपनी लाइफ टाइम के अंदर उस कलर को अडॉप्ट किया और आज भी उनकी जनरेशन के अंदर ये कलर अडॉप्ट है. और चिश्तिया सिलसिले की जितनी दूसरी खानकाएं वहां पर भी ये कलर अडॉप्ट किया जाता है. ये हिंदू कल्चर के हिसाब से इसको अडॉप्ट किया हमने.
इवन दिस सैफ्रन कलर व्हिच इज पेक्युलियर टू हिंदू ट्रेडिशन हैज बीन अडॉप्टेड बाय अजमेर दरगाह एंड मेनी अदर दरगाहस.
ख्वाजा साहब इस कॉन्टिनेंट के अंदर इसलिए पॉपुलर हैं कि प्रॉफेट मोहम्मद की डॉटर का नाम था बीबी फातिमा रज़ी अल्लाह अन्हा. उनकी शादी हुई थी इस्लाम के फोर्थ खलीफा हज़रत अली रज़ी अल्लाह अन्हा से. उनके दो लड़के हुए, बड़े इमाम हसन अलैहिस्सलाम, छोटे इमाम हुसैन अलैहिस्सलाम. इमाम हसन अलैहिस्सलाम की नाइन्थ जनरेशन के अंदर गरीब नवाज रहमतुल्लाह अलैह जो अजमेर वाले हैं उनकी मदर है. और हुसैन अलैहिस्सलाम की 13th जनरेशन के अंदर ख्वाजा साहब के फादर हैं. तो बाय बर्थ बाय ब्लड ये सूफी है. और उन्होंने जो टीचिंग्स अपने एंसेस्टर से सीखी, जो उनको इनहेरिट हुई, और अपने रिलीजियस मास्टर हजरत ख्वाजा उस्मान हारवानी रहमतुल्लाह से इनहेरिट हुई, उसकी टीचिंग की. यही वजह है कि आज उनके डेथ के 850 साल पूरे होने के बाद भी विदाउट कास्ट एंड क्रीड उनके मजार के ऊपर लोग हाजिर होते हैं और अपनी मुरादें पाते हैं.
This sacred gentleman who is lying there in the grave, his both of his parents were descendants of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and he adopted this tradition of taking the responsibility upon himself to carry forward the message of the Prophet, and that's the reason why even after 850 years, this good tradition is going on of bringing together people of different faiths.
आप लोगों का मैं शुक्रिया अदा करता हूँ कि दूसरे कंट्री से आप यहाँ तशरीफ़ लाए हैं और एक पर्टिकुलर पर्पस के लिए आए हैं. आपकी जो नेक मुरादें हैं मैं दुआ करता हूँ अल्लाह ताला से कि उन सबको वो पूरा करे. आप हजरात की उम्र इकबाल में बरकत अता फरमाए, आपके ख़ानदान को खुशहाली अता फरमाए, आपको बुजुर्गान दीन और सूफिया कराम की बताई हुई तालीमात पर अमल पैरा रहते हुए अपनी अमली ज़िंदगी बसर करने के साथ साथ सिराते मुस्तकीम पर कायम रखे. इसके अलावा मेरे लायक अगर कोई खिदमत है आप अर्ज़ करें. यूथ के लिए खिदमत है, मैं अपने बच्चे को हाजिर करता हूँ, वो आपकी सरपरस्ती में आपकी उसमें डायरेक्शन के अंदर वो काम करने के लिए तैयार है, आप जिस तरह चाहें उसको यूज़ करें.
ही इज़ ग्रेटफुल टू ऑल ऑफ यू बॉयज़ एंड गर्ल्स फॉर हैविंग विजिटेड इंडिया फॉर दिस पर्टिकुलर पर्पस, एंड ही इज़ प्रेइंग फॉर योर लॉन्ग लाइफ एंड गुड लाइफ. And he's also inviting you to visit his place there. And he says that his son, who is sitting behind him, can facilitate your visit there.
Thank you.
Your Holiness, thank you so much for your comments. I think you already started the conversation with everybody here. And I know... Many people and others are ready to, everybody would like to be a part of this. So we'd love to open it up and give you a chance to hear more of the voices of our youth leaders. And, great. So.
Now it works. Thank you very much, Your Holiness, your colleagues, friends, ladies and gentlemen. Since you asked us to make it informal, I will try my best to not give a formal speech. We are really honored and thrilled to be in this holy compound and be able to have this extraordinary opportunity to share our thoughts and our experiences with Your Holiness and with all these amazing people. I come from the mountains of Kurdistan, the Iraqi part of Kurdistan. I was born in Kirkuk. It's an oil-rich city of a very diverse population. of Muslims, Christians, Assyrians, Kurds, Arabs, who all live together in one city with peace for now. And in 2009, when I was a 14-year-old kid, just playing video games, I remember one day we had 9 explosions since 6 a.m. until 5 p.m. As I say, I was playing video games when one of the bombs, one of the cars, exploded less than 100 meters away from my grandma's house. And everything was just shaking. The electricity went off. And I was shocked. I just wanted to know what's happening. So I went out without letting my mom and everybody know, because they wouldn't let me go and see what's happening. So I went near the place with a cousin of mine, who was also my age. We went there and saw the aftermath of that explosion. And there we saw blood, we saw parts of human bodies, like dead humans. For a 14-year-old child to see a dead human, that's a lot. So I was traumatized. I was living in fear. And now that I'm older and I have a better understanding of the world, when I go to visit the refugees in the Kurdistan region and try to deliver aid through the NGOs and other organizations to them, and I communicate with them, I talk with them, I feel only a part of the fear that they are living in. I only feel a portion of it, because I just saw the chaos that terror makes. I was not a victim. I was not a direct victim. But these people have lost their lives. They have lost their families. They have lost their homes, their people. So I think all of this is caused by religious and ideological violence and warfare. I think we can solve this through non-violent activism. This is ideology, so it can be solved through thoughts. So me and all of my colleagues, I think everybody here, are here today because we want to learn, because we want to serve the holy goal of Your Holiness and all of us. So we want to know, what is it to be done? What is it that the youth should do in each of us countries that will contribute to the achievement of this holy goal? Thank you very much.
I think I briefly mentioned also this kind of meeting is a different place. I think we should try to have this kind of meeting. Then you see people, for example, you see, I think you come here, so after you return, you can tell, oh, we went to India and met something. So, you see, there is a real possibility, different religious faith, people with different religious faith, you see, can live together. And actually, all religious traditions have sort of same potential, same message. So tell them. So more and more people, I think let know more and more people. And then, you see, that kind of the feeling should not cause of the cool sorrow.
May not
calm down. May not, should not cause of that.
Let it die down.
Oh. So, I think next year, some other country, some gathering. So this spirit, you see, keep sort of alive, then share with more people in your own country. I think that is the only way for the time being. Then long run, think seriously about education. So we already sort of working somewhere with draft about ethics. Without touching any religion.
Yes.
So which can fit in secular education field. So I think India, 1,000 year years of tradition, the secular ethics here. So India's constitution itself is based on secular. So according to Indian understanding, secular means respect all religions and also non-believer. That is something unique. And that not only the ancient sort of Indian tradition, but also very relevant to today's world. So we are working. So eventually, I say the small pockets, that kind of sort of secular, actually, I mean, Kasatimindi.
Curriculum.
A curriculum, which you see the emphasis, importance of secular ethics. One school carry as a sort of experiment, and we'll see. In America, you see, few cities, since I think last few years, I think already, they develop the very name of the city they call City of Kindness, City of Compassion. So accordingly, they carry some program about value of compassion, kindness. So they already found within the city and some school within the city, the more program about more talks about the value of compassion or kindness. So school in these, I mean, children in this school, are much more peaceful. And these children, it's a more sort of what's the willingness to serve other people, like that. Not through preaching, but through education.
Yeah. Your Holiness, I may add a little to what this boy asked. So there is another very important dimension, because he began speaking. His first sentence was that he was a small child and a bomb exploded, etc. So that adds a very important dimension of that. Today we are assembled here to talk about peace, how to deal with peace, isn't it? So peace has two dimensions, very, very important. One is what we have been talking about, how to approach through soft measures. The other is justice. Unless there is justice in the world, all the soft efforts may perhaps not jointly together work for that. When Mr. Obama was about to come to India last year, then a group of American diplomats had come to me to my office to discuss with me that what Muslims of India would like to tell Mr. Obama, that what should he say. So one of the suggestions which I had given was, and I have said this to so many other diplomats of America and other countries at various levels, that a child who is 5 years old today cannot be a terrorist. 5 years old child is an innocent person. He cannot be a terrorist.
Right.
So what should not, the world should take care, what should not go in his or her mind for the next 20 years, so that when he becomes 25 years old, then he should not turn into a terrorist.
Yes.
So for that, research has to go. The various modern countries of the world and in India also, there are so many researches going on. But then in the Harvard, in Oxford, everywhere, some researches should be conducted on this also, that what are those things which are going to go into the minds of the small child who is 5 years old, for the next 20 years it should not go in his mind, and what the world should do about that, particularly in the context of justice in the world, so that this is. Otherwise, of course, there are so many interfaith. I am also president of Interfaith Coalition for Peace. So all of us are doing in our own places small things. But then this is a big reason for the lack of peace.
And right? I know that that's...
That's why, you see, the education is the key thing. From kindergarten up to university level, in education sort of field should include some sort of education about moral ethics. That also is not just sort of compassion. Oh, the whole system of our mind, our emotion. That's, I think, ancient Indian knowledge. The ancient Indian sort of psychology is very rich. So this, take as an academic subject, then teach. When we talk about the usefulness, about compassion, or these things, we have to sort of explain. Usually I call map of emotion. So the people get sort of more fuller knowledge about the whole system of emotion. Then much easier to deal these destructive emotions. So in any way, as you mentioned very right, I just mentioned, this is some sort of obvious change I do not expect within my lifetime. You see, however, if we make attempt now,
yeah, sure,
in education field, from kindergarten, gradually, like that, then I think next generation, who come through that kind of education, could be more sensible human being.
And I think this generation has aspirations for faster action. But let's hear from more of you.
Your Holiness, I'm Rebecca from Nigeria, and I would like to share my experience from something you've touched on before about inner peace. And in 2011, I was hit by a car, you know. I was just going on my own, and I had this violent accident. And it was a hit and run, because I never got to see who did that. And I spent weeks in the hospital recuperating. I have scars that's going to be on my face forever as a result of that. And even though my scars healed, it was hard for me to heal inside. It was hard for my emotions to heal. It was hard for me to get over it. And I just wished that I had an opportunity to talk to the person who did this to me, to let the person know that this is what you've done. This is how I feel about it. This is the impact it has on me. And it took a long time. I went through a period of anger and depression and... It took a really long time. And eventually, I think I got to a place of acceptance that this is my identity now. This is what it is, and I'll live with that. And that helped me. I had to tap inside to look for that place of peace and forgiveness. And I thought about it. I'm like, okay, so this is, some people will say, just a car accident. There are other people who are in violent conflict, people who have been raped, people whose entire families have been killed, you know, houses burnt. And I thought some of these people also do not have a chance to express the pain that they feel. Nobody is listening, you know, and this is creating more animosity, it's creating deeper anger, you know, and resentment. And that's why I've been an advocate for trauma healing activities, where victims of violent conflict can come out, and it's not easy, though, to go into that deep place of pain, you know, but to come out and talk about the pain that they feel, you know, and hopefully even get the perpetrators the opportunity to be able to say, I'm sorry. So trauma healing is very dear to my heart. And so my question to you, Your Holiness, is how is it that you are able, you know, to forgive so easily and find that peace? And what tips can you give us, you know, in the course of our work that can help us, you know, aspire and also guide other people towards that journey of inner peace? Because it's until we have inner peace that there can be peace in the community.
Thank you. Thank you. So one of my friend in Australia had a similar, you see, his car, somehow, you see, the similar thing happened. So next few weeks, you see, he feel something very negative towards that family, you see, who causing that problem. Then one day, he decide better to go to that family and tell, you see, his feeling. So one day, he done that. And after that, he feels something much sort of calm or kasota. He feels sort of much calmer. Like that. And then one of my great friend, sometimes I describe my hero, one Northern Islander, one person. When I think he was, 10 years old, you see, the British sort of soldier at the conflict, you see, the rubber bullet stuck on his here. So instantly, his both eyes lost. And he fainted. And when he fainted, sort of, Kasoda, and when he reconscious or something, you see, he already in the bed in hospital. Then, you see, instead of anger, he only sort of felt, oh, now I cannot, I mean, no longer I can see my mother's face. So he never sort of developed some kind of anger or something. As a result, his mind much more peaceful. And he carried education. And eventually he married. And then I think two girls. So then eventually he found the British soldier who shot, they recognized, they met. They become very good friend. They together is to come here. And also I met in Northern Ireland. And like that, you see, keep anger, nothing sort of the help, no help to get some problem to the other person. Only destroy your peace of mind. So these are, actually, we human beings have that kind of sort of capacity, that kind of nature, that kind of potential. Then, and what? You see, the community level problem, difficult. Just as I mentioned, I think to you, best thing is escape.
Okay, I'll remind you that Prophet Muhammad, he used to pass through some lane every day. So there was an old woman who was having some animosity with him. So she, on the first floor from the roof, she would throw trash on him while he is passing. So he will not even look at her. He'll simply dust his clothes and move forward. That he used to do every day, and she will repeat the same thing every day. After several weeks, when he was once going, so he was expecting now the trash will come down. So the trash did not come down. Then he stopped. And he inquired in the locality, why did the trash did not come down? Where is that woman? So he was told that she is not feeling well. She is unwell. She is confined to bed. So he went to her house to inquire about her health. So that's the answer.
That's right. All right.
Yeah. I'd like to invite other voices.
Thank you, Your Holiness. I have a question for you. You earlier talked about engaging even people who were violent and that were engaged in violent extremism. In my country, Tunisia, a lot of youth went to conflict zones, to Syria and to Libya, and they joined ISIS. And Tunisia, although it's a small country in terms of population, but we have one of the highest rates of youth jihadists in the world. And now in my country, we have a lot of returnees coming back from Syria and from Libya to Tunisia. And I've been thinking about some of Tunisian peace builders, about a way to engage them again in the society. But we have this concern. We were thinking if these people who decided to go to jihad, to kill other people in the name of God, can they really be re-engaged in the society? Can they have the mental capacity and acceptance to reintegrate again in the society? So I would like to ask you about your opinion about that. Thank you, Holiness.
Basically, as I mentioned earlier, we human being, you see, the same way born and the same way grown up. But then, because of the environment and the circumstances, you see, create such sort of merciless person. For immediate, I don't know. Very difficult. Very difficult. As I mentioned earlier, you see, I think the 2 days, a lot of violence, a lot of killing. You see, there are sort of way of thinking, the mentality, way of thinking. I think reach certain level. That also, I think, environment. And I think from government level to community level, force is something, let's say, the effective answer or method. I think that we have to change that kind of way of thinking or mentality. That through education. The government level cannot do that. Education level. So I don't know. So difficult. So only, as I mentioned earlier, sort of my effort without any expectation, within my lifetime, or some nice things come. No. If the today's situation remain continuously, more suffering, and basically, as I mentioned earlier, human nature is more compassion. And human intelligence have the ability to see long-term, short-term interest and more holistic. So we should utilize that. And through education, we can change human way of thinking. Once you see human way of thinking through education, through awareness, becoming more realistic. Now this violence is actually unrealistic. Mutual destruction. If they properly sort of use the human sort of the common sense. So that's the I feel we cannot blame these individuals. These individuals come from a society where not much talking about inner value, talking only power, money. We can't blame them. So the society's way of life, way of thinking must change. How? Not through prayer, not through force. I don't know. Law, justice, that also, you see, sometimes I think the definition of justice also sometimes difficult. Human mind, such sort of sophisticated, even the definition, definition of justice also sometimes, you see, difficult. In any way, I think the very nature, nature law, loving kindness brings happiness. Oneself, as well as others, even animals, you show loving kindness, they also appreciate. So no need written law or something.
That's true.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
So we, you see, through education, make awareness. Then everybody loves themselves. So the best way to to develop happy individual, this inner value is the key factor. So through awareness, through education, not through religion. That's my view. So whether achieve or not, different question. Our generation, we have the moral responsibility. Make attempt, make effort, start now. Then, this is now 2016. After 10 years, 2026. Then, another 10 years, 36. Then, I may disappear. So sometimes I jokingly say, telling
people... You will begin the next century of your life then.
So sometimes I jokingly say, telling, I want to share with you. You see, I usually make generation of 20th century and generation of 21st century. So we both, generation of 20th century. So our century already gone. Now the 21st century. These young people are 21st century. Oh, yes. So now, my generation, I think we've done create a lot of problem on this planet. So our work done. Now, the 21st generations, it is your responsibility to solve this problem which we created. So if you start work now, at the beginning of 21st century, I think the later part of 21st century can be more peaceful, more compassionate. That should be our goal. Then I usually, you see, half joke, you see, telling. At that time, I may be either in heaven or hell. Even in the hell, I can seek vacation, come to world to see what is the 21st generation's people doing. If you carry similar way, killing like that, bully like that, then when I return to hell, I will report, oh, please expand hell, more expand, because a lot of people ready to come. If other hand, you see, the 21st century people use common sense effectively, doing something good. Then when I return, I will report, now some of the sort of area of hell, now time to come close. Like that. So therefore, I really feel, yes, we are social animals. My own happiness, when I hear and see some nice things, I feel happy. Killing, bloodshed, and the poverty, starvation, particularly those young children, under nourishment. Some Syrians or refugees, some children, their face, and old people, women. When I saw and hear these things, I really feel, oh, we are same. If I become that kind of situation, what I feel? We are same human being. So we have same right. So it is immoral, in spite of these problems. So long, a problem not reach on your own place, you remain, or say, indifferently. Indifferent. It's immoral. We have to think. So then, it's more weapon, more bombing, not answer. Only thing is, talk, reconciliation. And that's immediate method, long run. education. So that's my view. So now you. So I will tell you, my generation, now we fulfilled our job, create a lot of problem. So now I'm sort of waiting after 20 years, like you, what they really done, what they really doing. So there's only, actually, a basis of our hope is I believe human nature is wonderful. Human intelligence, wonderful. Now combine human intelligence and human compassionate nature, combine. Then we can build happy humanity. The present problem, eventually we don't care about our inner value, only intelligence. Then intelligence also only thinking about money, power, like that. So that's a mistake. That's my view. Is it correct or wrong?
Your emphasis on education is very, very valuable, and it finds full resonance in the Quran also, because the Muslim boys and girls, they should know that the first revelation of the Quran, the first word was Iqra. Read, Iqra, I-Q-R-A, Iqra. Iqra. That's the Arabic word. That's the Arabic word. So, because the Quran is in Arabic.
That's right, Arabic,
so,
yes.
So, Archangel Gabriel, when he came to Prophet Muhammad and gave him first message of God, the first word which he uttered, Iqra, read. Iqra bismi rabbika allazi khalaq. Read in the name of thy Lord,
yes,
who created man with a clot of blood. That's what. And then he talks about pen, etc., etc. So, the first, see the emphasis of Islam on learning, which you are saying, education, that the first revelation, first word is read.
Right.
So that is, so we will be fulfilling our religious duty also by doing what His Holiness is telling us.
But, yes, please. Thank you. So, Your Holiness, I totally agree on the fact that education plays an important role in engaging these people and in making everybody open and tolerant towards each other. However, I'm going to complete on what my colleague from Tunisia just said.
Tunisia.
So I would like to inform you that most of the Tunisian population is educated, and the 6,500 jihadists who went from Tunisia to Syria and Iraq to fight with ISIS are most of them educated. And I am working also in a study on Tunisian prisons. And I figured out that in 27 prisons, we have 1,000 terrorist suspects. And most of these suspects are mixed with common law prisons, which are normal people that are not radicalized in their mind and thinking. The problem here, how can we connect education to radicalization while these people are already educated? And those who are not educated are not really interested in violence. So this is my, I'm just wondering, how can we apply what you said in this, in our situation in Tunisia? This is the first issue. Also, I would like to know, how can the Tunisian government and the Tunisian, let's say, youth, because most of these people are young people like us, our peers. How can me, as a young person, convince someone who is radicalized or who is in a way of radicalization to come back and reintegrate? I would join the idea of, excuse me, I don't remember your name.
Dr. Mahmoud.
Mahmoud. For the idea of justice, and mainly social justice. And I would say that in Tunisia, we are facing an identity crisis, and young people are not hopeful anymore. So there is the question of hope, of identity, and of recognition within the society and justice.
and marginalization, especially for the young people who, after the revolution, are not even really integrated in power and decision-making. Thank you very much.
I think you mentioned these, how to say, kasoda, kasa.
Christ, identity crisis. Jihad is the
educated people. So that's why, you see, we are seriously concerned the system of the education. I think, as a matter of fact, most of the troublemaker on this planet is educated people. Uneducated, usually, is a little bit more honest. Educated people, too much clever. How to exploit, regardless others' right. So the education itself, something wrong. Not necessarily, you see, the mathematics or the something wrong. No, the sort of lack of holistic. We have this physical, mind, emotion. Education should cover both physical health, mental health. So irrespective religion or religious believer or not, it's just simply healthy mind. So more sort of knowledge about this whole system of mind. So quite often I use the word in education field, the hygiene of physical, we usually, you see, teaching, isn't it? Hygiene of physical. So similarly, we also need hygiene of emotion. Then automatically, you see, this whole system of mind, whole system of emotion, as I mentioned earlier, you see. So then I think education itself is something lacking, something wrong, I feel. So then we have to think. We already working that. And I think within next few months, I think within India, we will begin to sort of serious discussion. See, they finalize the drafting curriculum of that. Then, as I mentioned earlier, in America, next June, with the help of Emory University, we already produced some draft sort of curriculum. From kindergarten level up to university level. So we are going to sort of serious discussions on these things. And then about, I think, 200 cities, mayor, some meeting. So as I mentioned earlier, it's already some cities, you see, they develop the name of city of kindness, city of compassion. So some actual sort of benefit already experienced. So therefore, you see, these are the method or way to step by step, gradually, you see, try to promote this inner value like that. So then,
Your Holiness.
Then the system, as I already mentioned, you see, whole atmosphere like that. I think people who really much sort of egoistic, I, self-centered attitude, more sort of as the merciless, these become more effective. People more compassionate, usually you see, in the society, consider these are weakness. Actually, violence is signs of weakness. Forgiveness is signs of strength. But usually, you see, the people usually consider just opposite. Isn't it? Like that. So then, Tunisian problem, you have to solve. I don't know. I never been to Tunisia. So you see, the things, you see, have to solve by yourself. You know best about the situation. And if you make attempt, effort it become realistic. If I say from distance, oh, you should do this, then often may become unrealistic. So,
to your 1,000 prisoners in Tunisia, you can consider providing to them, if you can, the world-famous commentaries of the Holy Quran. Let them read world-famous commentaries of the Holy Quran. And the best one is Abdullah Yusuf Ali, English language. If they are educated, then provide them so that they should get good education now, which can change their mind.
I would just inform you, like give a brief information that prisons and the administration of prisons in Tunisia is used to provide imams, so if a religious figure who goes frequently to the prison to give courses. But despite this, we still have radicalization and people are still influenced, so they go to the prison, be in a common law prisoner and go out from it as a terrorist. Thank you.
See, that's good. You are saying imam, fine. But then imam would be going for a short while, would be coming back, while the book would be on his bedside all the time. We can always, even at the midnight, he can get up and open and read. So that would be a good solution.
If we sort of rely on religious, then also you see there's some complication. Those who say Buddhist terrorist. You see, the Quran, not relevant.
No. Actually, one has to read. I have got so much here. If you give me half an hour, I can read it out to you. There are 1,000 things which are very, very nice, and nobody in the world can say that no, this
that's
should
right.
not happen.
That's right.
Those old prisoners should know.
That's right. That's right. Muslim, yes, from your own sort of tradition. Sometimes I say, including Buddhist. We simply, you see, use the word of Buddhism or Islam or Hinduism or Christianity. Not much serious, the practice or implement what you are
right.
teaching. That's the problem. So
They don't know first. Hmm? They don't read, they don't know. Like, hardly any Muslims know that is the Quran is all the way talking about interfaith. From beginning to the end, لا نفرق بين أحدٍ من رسولي. Do not differentiate among the messengers. And if you differentiate, you are not a true believer. Hardly any Maulvi, hardly any Imam knows about it. But then if he reads the original text, he will get to know about it.
All right. All
right. Your Holiness, regarding our responsibility to promote a culture of peace that this generation, our own generation, 21st, central generation, is to promote a culture of peace. And looking at most of our environment coming from conflict zones, Nigeria, Somalia, where most of the terrorists are operating, and we are young people, and we are passionate about our work, we want to continue because most of our works are making impact. And sometimes, if we consider our own safety, so I'm thinking, what advice can you give us that we can continue our work in some ways that we can ensure our own safety and at the same time making impact in our communities?
So safety, sir. I think I already mentioned, I think this kind of work, and I think regularly in different places, one time in Ladakh, three, four Muslim countries, some delegation. Among them, some ladies introduced as a teacher. Say, I express, oh, wonderful, among you, some professor, lady professors. Oh. It's some Muslim area. It's a little bit, you see, difficult. The
education.
Education. Because of some discrimination, isn't it? So I told them, it is wonderful. So among your delegation, your group, There are some female professors there, wonderful. Now, you, as a Muslim brother, sister, it is your responsibility, you see, to organize some meetings in different Muslim countries and then change these sort of perceptions, some discrimination, male and female, these things must change, but the initiative must start from Muslim community, not from outside sort of advice or something. So I told them, you see, you should try to organize some meeting in some Muslim countries and, you see, talk these things. So similarly, no matter how small and no matter how difficult it is, that's the only way. We have to make effort. So then, your case, you may face some problems, but think, you see, rest of the world, rest of humanity, everybody want peace. I think most of the 7 billion human beings don't like killing, violence. So think that. So you are representing a majority of humanity. These are terrorists, or so-called terrorists, these are minority. So think, no matter how difficult it is, but keep your enthusiasm and make effort. And then you really feel impossible. Then take refuge in some other country. That also, I think, a mistake. I often expressing the people or government, I think, should concentrate, bring peace in their original country, not just take refugee, more refugees. That also wonderful, more compassionate work, particularly German Chancellor, the lady, wonderful. But then millions of refugees, not for the practical, difficult. So we have to think seriously how to bring peace in their own land and let them build peace, let them build their own country. More prosperity because of prosperous country. So the outside world, you see, have the responsibility, help them, give them money, give them instrument, education. And the final sort of responsibility is the people themselves, like that. So really, but no matter, you see, I myself also, you see, problem is huge, but I never sort of give up my hope and my determination, and based on truth, honest, truthful. I always telling, some Tibetan, a little bit sort of irritate my sort of view. Defeat Chinese, victory Tibetan, is not right. Both should victory.
Very true.
So one side victory, one side defeat is old concept, out of date. Now we have to find mutually agreeable solution. So that's why I'm, since I think 1974, you see, we decided we are not seeking independence. We tried to sort of seek or try to, or today, try to, I mean, because of that.
Obtain.
Try to find a solution that is a mutually agreeable solution. The Chinese constitution sort of already recognized Tibetan area. So Tibetan autonomy, Tibetan district autonomy, was a district autonomy, kasa, a county, like that. So according population, so this autonomy region, autonomy district, autonomy county, autonomy prefecture, like that. So all, you see, consider, recognize constitution itself, recognize as a Tibetan area. So we are trying to have all these Tibetan area should have some same sort of right to preserve our own language, our own culture, like that. So that's mutually agreeable solution. Now, that's the only way. One side victory, other side defeat. Unrealistic.
Your Holiness, you have also spoken to the Myanmar government that against the violence that is being committed against Rohingyas.
Soon after you see that problem, actually, I already mentioned, you see, when that violence, you see, take place, I was in Washington. Some media people asked me. Then I just expressed, it is very sad that those Buddhist, so-called Buddhist terrorists, see, these Buddhist brothers or sisters, you see, should feel, should imagine Buddha's face. If Buddha there, he definitely help or protect those Muslim brothers, sisters, no question.
Very true.
After that, one occasion, I met Aung San Suu Kyi as a Nobel laureate.
Yeah.
I think three times we met, I have the opportunity meeting with her, and I mentioned Burma, Buddhist country, so this kind of violence of action is really very bad for image of Buddhism and also image of Burma. So therefore, as a Nobel laureate, you should take some sort of initiative like that. Then she told me things are very complicated, very difficult. So she kept completely silence. I don't know.
I know. Even now she's doing that.
So difficult. So occasionally I told some Indian university a group, like interfaith group, should go these troubled area and try to cool down their negative emotion.
You'll be happy to know that in Delhi we have created a facility and we are hosting large number of families of Rohingyas. They are living with us. We are teaching their children. We have got their children admitted in their schools.
That's very good.
We are taking
care. Very good. Very good. Yeah. Now time for
lunch.
Stomach.
Healthy body.